Lee Shaw. I am from Houston, from Houston's First Baptist Church, and it's a pleasure for me to be with you today. I get to be with you guys for the next 3 weeks. Today we are going through Psalm 100, one of my favorite psalms, one of the most beautiful psalms, a psalm of thanksgiving as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week. Next week, we will go through just one scripture specifically about having the being able to have the reason for the hope that we have in defending our faith in this postmodern time. And then the third week, we will talk about how Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And we'll do a survey of the world religions of Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Judaism compared to the distinctiveness of Christianity. Well, it is Thanksgiving week this week, and it's really sprung up on me. I don't know about you. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, and I see commercials on TV talking about Christmas sales, and I'm starting to get emails inviting me to New Year's Eve parties. So people are planning very early, and that's a great blessing. Thanksgiving dinner, many of us, most of us, I think, who have Thanksgiving dinner with our friends and family, we traditionally say a blessing. It's good to praise God for everything before every meal, but especially on Thanksgiving dinner. And I have had the pleasure or the mistake of twice appointing someone and asking someone to pray for the Thanksgiving meal in front of like 10 or 20 people, and they told me afterwards it was the first time that they prayed out loud. And so today I want to show you a video of as an example of how to pray over a Thanksgiving meal if you're appointed to do so this Thursday.
Like to bless this fine meal.
I will, Mimi.
You know what, sweetie? That would be perfect. We would love that.
Dear God, thank you for turkey. Thank you for peas. And thank you for pie. And thank you for food. And thank you for butterflies. And then thank you for pink. And thank you for play toys. Thank you for cars. Thank you for bubbles, and thank you for gum, chewy gum. Thank you for Barbies, and thank you for my friends. Thank you for princesses, and then thank you for eyes to see. Thank you for cars, thank you for pretty dresses. Or thank you for my skateboard and my bike. And thank you for riding my skateboard with me. And thank you for riding my bike with me. Oh, that's a good one. Thank you for pretty dresses. Thank you for Christmas shoes. Thank you for butterflies. Thank you for fairies. Thank you for chocolate ice cream. And thank you for my trampoline. And thank you for corn candy. And thank you for crowns. God, most of all, thank you for my family. They're the best family in the whole wide world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, it's true. In everything, we are to give thanks. Poor grandpa in that video. Of course, we have so much more to be thankful for than even the little girl's toys and the food and even our friends and family. We have God to be thankful for giving us life. We have our nation to be thankful for. I grew up in a country that was not free, that was ruled by a communist government. And I'm so blessed to be here in this country where we do have freedom, especially freedom of religion. As I was driving from Houston, about 20 minutes out of Port Lavaca, there's a town that I crossed called Blessing. Have y'all seen that? Blessing, Texas. What a great place to be on Thanksgiving. I might try to have Thanksgiving dinner there some year. Well, it can be said that no Americans were more underprivileged than that small handful from the Mayflower, who started the custom of setting aside a day of Thanksgiving to Almighty God. And by the way, the United States is one of only three countries that celebrates, that observes Thanksgiving Day. We were the first, and Canada followed, and the Philippines followed after that. So we're one of only three nations that celebrates Thanksgiving Day. These forefathers, these folks from the Mayflower, they had no money. They had no place to spend it if they had any. They had no amusements except what they did with their relatives. They had no Social Security. They had no Medicare. But anyone who dared to call them underprivileged would have ended up in the stocks, for they did have four of the greatest human assets. They had initiative, they had courage, a willingness to work hard, and a boundless faith in God. Our founding fathers penned our Declaration of Independence. And in that declaration, it proclaims, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And it ends with these words, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday or anniversary. It's simply a day set aside to express our nation's thanks to our nation's God, and of course the God of all nations. In 1789, George Washington made this public proclamation, and this is the beginning of Thanksgiving Day. I'll read only a part of this. He writes, quote, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with great hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be." And that read the first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation. This week, of course, our nation pauses again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And thank God that we still have this day to celebrate. And we would think that because of the example of our forefathers, and because we do have so much as a country, even though we're getting out of a recession, that we would be an extremely thankful people. But that's not the case, is it? And as I search my heart, that's not the case in my life sometimes either, and I confess that before you, that I'm not always thankful. I don't always have the attitude of gratitude. Often, it's just the opposite. The more we get, the less thankful we become, and the less mindful of God we are, and the more that we want. The famous industrialist, John D. Rockefeller, at the height of his career, had an estimated worth in today's valuation of money at $10 trillion. And he was asked, "When will you have enough? When will enough be enough?" And he said, "Just one more dollar." We all have that fleshly desire for more. The 100th Psalm was written to deal with that attitude, to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Psalm 100? And I'll read, it's just five verses, and I'll read the entire psalm first. And then we'll go through what I see as six commands, with their commands, but they're also encouragements from God on how and why and practical ways to be thankful. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The 100th Psalm, of course, from the Old Testament, was originally written for the people of Israel. And God said to them, when you come into the promised land, settle down in your warm homes, you have plenty to eat, don't forgive me. Don't forget about me. I led you out of the wilderness, and I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. But it doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel needed another reminder, and today you and I certainly need it too. And this psalm is clearly a message for all God's people. The first verse says it is addressed to all the earth. And the last verse says it includes all generations. The message of thanksgiving is so deep and wide that it applies to every person in every area of in every stage of life. So there is a real danger in this season of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. You may ask, some may ask, do I have enough turkey to gorge myself with? Is my money in the bank secure? Am I healthy? And we let these things determine whether we're thankful or not. The psalmist says that all these things may change at any time. They may drift away or burn up, and someone may steal them. The only thing we have for sure is our relationship with God. And this is what the 100th Psalm emphasizes. If you scan through the psalm, you'll see the name of the Lord throughout it. Verse 1, you'll find the name of the Lord. Verse 2, you see the name of the Lord. Verse 3, it says the Lord. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. In verse 5, the name of the Lord is there. The basis of our thanksgiving should be the Lord. The Lord who provides. The Lord who provides sufficiently according to his riches and glory. Now I'd like to look at each of the verses of this psalm and break that up into six different commandments or commands that we see, that I see. The first command is in verse 1. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. From that Hebrew word, how it's used, it means to shout with the force of a trumpet blast. A shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of your being. Matthew 18, verses 36 to 40, the scholars, the Pharisees, asked Jesus, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, the greatest commandment, I think most of you are familiar with, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love others as yourselves. This Greek word for strength doesn't just mean love him with all of our body and hands and feet and muscles. That word that we translate strength can also be translated with all intensity. With all intensity. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbors, your family, and your friends. And so it's with the same spirit that this Hebrew verse here shows. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout with force. Love with force. Maybe he solved your problem. Maybe he has given you the direction to go. Maybe he's provided a blessing and you realize that it has come from God. So from the depths of your being, you proclaim your praise. This past year, I very clearly saw a blessing from God. I was given a gift from the IRS. In the mail. in the form of a letter with a fine of $20,000. And I think I've shared my testimony. Most of y'all were here when I shared my testimony that my parents passed away about 8 years ago in a car accident. And that fine was actually from one of their accounts. So I wasn't even responsible, and I certainly didn't have any money to pay for it. But long story short, God gave me a blessing in providing the funds to pay for that amount, plus the IRS waived half of that bill. So I shout to God praise because of what He's done. So what do you do when something really great happens to you? Maybe your boyfriend proposed, if you're older, when you think about the time of your engagement. Maybe your boyfriend proposed to you, or your girlfriend who you proposed to said yes. Married people, who was the first person you told? Maybe your mom, dad, your best friend. Wasn't it with gladness? Wasn't it sharing good news from the depths of your heart? Teenagers, when you find good news, maybe you got straight A's, A on a test, maybe you made the band or made the team, or you got into the college that you've always wanted to go to. Who was the first person you told? Or was it just a Facebook status telling all your friends? I posted some good news yesterday. My team, the Rice Owls, coming from a 2-8 record, we beat ECU. 61-38 or something. And so I shouted from the depths of my heart through Facebook the score. And one of my friends that I went to school with commented, "Who's ECU?" So thank God that that he assigned that team to play Rice so we can win. Nobody knows who they are. My friend Phoebe was on a mission trip to Kenya. And when she came back, she found out through Facebook that her older sister was engaged. And she was so insulted that her older sister didn't even tell her in person or by phone or email. But she was kind of the last to know through Facebook. So we all have good news to share. And when we share that news with those we love most, with gladness and joy, we share it from the depths of our being. And we are also to shout to God thanksgiving and praise from the depths of our being and depths of our heart. The Bible commands us, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, everybody. The second command from verse 2, the first part of verse 2, is worship the Lord with gladness. That Hebrew word for worship in the New International Version and the New Living paraphrase is translated to in worship. But if you read from the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, ESV, or the King James, it's translated as serve. So this Hebrew word is translated both worship and serve. And it really means both. Worship, when we think of worship, we think of Sunday mornings, singing praise, like we did this morning with beautiful songs, singing unto the Lord. But the word worship is from Middle English. It means worth ship, or the condition giving worth, the act of giving worth to God, His rightful worth. Worship. So we are to worship God every day. And one of the best ways to worship is through service. The scripture doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve the preacher or serve the leaders or serve your faith community. It says serve the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord when he is everywhere, but most of us think of the Lord as, of course, an invisible being. The Bible teaches that if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we defend the rights of the orphans and widows, if we witness on behalf of the Lord, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever that may be for you, that is serving the Lord. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you did for me to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So maybe we serve at times out of obligation or out of fear of guilt if we don't serve, or maybe even because we want to draw attention to ourselves. It's natural for us to desire appreciation when we do something that's worthwhile. But the psalmist says, whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. The third command is from the second part of verse 2. And it says, come before him with joyful songs. Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The ESV, English Standard Version, of this verse is translated, come into his presence with singing. Notice it doesn't say come into his presence with good singing. Just singing. Praise the Lord. So that allows all of us to be able to sing praise to God. And thank you, Howard, again for leading us to come into his presence with singing. We are to get into the presence of God with joyful singing. Isn't there something about singing and music that calms our heart down, that opens our minds to the thoughts of God, to be ready to listen or to read His Word? So I really encourage you, sing to the Lord outside of just Sunday mornings in church. Put a CD in your car and sing to the Lord, whether it's the old hymns or the new rock praise songs or rap praise songs. There's all kinds of Christian praise songs. Sing to the Lord with those CDs or on your internet radio. In verse 3, we find command number 4. It says, to know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. God took every bone and every joint, and He welded them together with sinews and muscles, and covered them with skin, and gave us eyes that see, brains that think, and fingers that can pick things up. God made us inside and out. He made you and I the way that He wanted us to be. And He is still making us. Theologians call that the process of sanctification. When we're saved, we are justified before God. So if something were to happen to us, through the death of Christ, we are able to enter heaven. But we're not perfect when we're saved. We're not sanctified yet. We're all works in progress. We're all under construction. Ephesians 4 says quote, so Christ himself gave the apostles, Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 13. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If we were perfect when we were saved, then I'd be out of a job. It says, the scripture says that God has given pastors and evangelists to equip the saints until we reach the point of maturity, until we reach the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then he says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Most of us want to be shepherds and not sheep. It's not fun being sheep, we may say. But the problem is, we don't know where the still waters and green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for them, we end up in far country. He is saying, you be the sheep, let me be the shepherd, I will lead you beside the still waters and green pastures. God says, let me lead, and I will give you comfort. I will give you peace. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The Bible says of Jesus in John 1:3, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And then the Bible says of Jesus in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So that's command number 4. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Know that the Lord is God. Verse 4 gives us commands number 5 and 6. And to me, these are practical ways that I want to challenge you with today and this week to express our thanksgiving and our praise to God. Verse 4 of Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We sang earlier today, better is one day in his courts than the courts that we find ourselves from our fleshly strategies. And so we are to enter his courts and gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5 goes on to say, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people come to the temple and enter the gates and courtyards, they knew they had come into the presence of God. And now, the temple no longer exists. And we call this place, this auditorium or gathering place or worship center, sometimes we call it sanctuary, because it's where songs are sang to God and the word is preached for the glory of God. God's word is preached. And so the presence of God is surely here. But the presence of God, you know and I know, is everywhere. The presence of God is in your home, is at your workplace, it's in your schools. The presence of God is here in Portlovaca. The presence of God is here as you walk into Walmart, shop at Walmart, and as you eat at Beijing Buffet. By the way, that place is so good, it beats any Chinese buffet in Houston. So, my recommendation for that. The gates and courts of Bible times are the doors that we walk through every day. And since God's presence is everywhere, let any and every door that you walk through be a reminder to enter with thanksgiving and praise. So I challenge you today, as you walk through these doors here outside of this sanctuary and then outside of this church and then the doors inside your car, every time you walk through a door or a gate, think of a way to praise God. Think of a way to thank God for something, for who he is and what he's done in your life. How many doors do you walk through? I try to count how many doors, at a minimum, everybody walks through every day. First, and I didn't even count if you have a bedroom, which most of us do, you walk out of your bedroom, then you have to walk into your bathroom, out of your bathroom, into your maybe dining room for breakfast, if you eat breakfast, and then you walk out of your house. So if we just count the door out of your house as door number 1, and then door number 2, into your car, 3, out of your car, 4, into the office building or your school, 5, into the department or office or classroom, at least one door into a classroom or into an office room. And then 6, out of your room for lunch. Hopefully you get to go out for lunch. And then into the lunch, out of the lunchroom, back into your room for an afternoon of work or school. And then door 10, out of your workroom. Door 11, into your car. 12, out of your car. 13, into your house. And 14, into your bedroom. So I counted a minimum of 14 doors. You guys are laughing, the youth are, because I probably lost count and they counted more. But at least 14 doors we walk through. And there are 14 opportunities that we have to praise and thank God. Command number 6 is also from verse 4. It says, give thanks to him and praise his name. Give thanks is not just for what he's done, but for who he is. His name is His identity. God the Father, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and the Holy Spirit who leads and guides our lives. And who He is His character, His love, His justice, His sovereignty, His wisdom, His grace, and His mercy. Thank God for His grace. In Spanish, how do you say thank you? Gracias. In Italian, it's grazie. And it comes from this root word for grace. God's grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor that He gives us. There's nothing that we did to deserve eternal life with God and having a relationship with God. And then mercy. How do you say thank you en français, in French? Merci. Merci. Mercy. Mercy is God withholding the punishment that we deserve, the punishment of death and eternal separation from Him. So these words that we use to say thank you in the worldwide languages come from God's grace and God's mercy, and really no word can equate to the gratitude that God deserves from us. So my two challenges for you this week: think about how many doors you go out through and come into. And every time you see a door or a gate, praise God, thank God for something. And then not only thank God for what He's done. We tend to only thank God for His hands and seek His hands. We like to pray for Him to do something and thank Him for doing something. But the Bible says to seek the face of God. What does that mean, the face of God? It means to seek who He is, His heart, and to thank Him not only for what He's done, but for who He is, His character. I close with couple of illustrations, one funny one and one serious one. So in some regions of Mexico, I love vacationing to Mexico, and in this one region of Mexico, there's this springs park, and there are hot springs and cold springs that are side by side. What a blessing to have. And so the locals go and wash their clothes there. They wash their clothes in the hot springs, and then they rinse off their clothes in the cold springs. And so an American tourist went and he saw a bunch of locals washing their clothes, and he says, isn't this nice? Isn't this such a blessing for you to have two springs like this? And one of the locals says, oh, no, señor. She does not give soap. They want hot and cold and soap. They don't have this attitude of gratitude. I close with the definition of gratitude, written by Jeff Jacoby from the Boston Globe. This is in an editorial in 1990. He says, in a sense, gratitude is an expression of modesty. In Hebrew, the word for gratitude is hoda'ah, is the same as the word for confession. To offer thanks is to confess dependence, isn't it? And we all know, I think we all know some people who are extremely prideful, and it's very hard for them to say thank you or express their appreciation. So it takes some humility to thank someone, and especially to thank God sincerely. Not just mouth the words, thank you, but to sincerely thank them. To offer thanks is to confess dependence. I thank you because I've depended on you for how you've helped me. The acknowledgement that others have the power to benefit you. I thank God because He has the power to benefit me. That takes some humility to tell someone, you have the power in my life to benefit me, to influence me. To admit that your life is better because of their efforts. God, thank you, praise you, because my life is better because of Him, His efforts to help me. And To offer thanks is to admit that your life is that is better because of their efforts, and that frame of mind is indispensable to civilized society, he says. In order to have a civilized society, we must have a frame of mind that has the roots of humility, of worship, knowing God's rightful worth and acting in such, and expressing our gratitude to God every day. Will you pray with me? Holy Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word that is as relevant today as the day that it was written, that it's timeless and universal. Thank you for this body of believers at Comfort Community Church. I pray that we will be a people of thanksgiving and praise. We will enthusiastically shout, that we will thank you by serving, by worshiping, by knowing that you are God. And as we enter through every gate, may we thank you and praise you, because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lion in the land, lion in the land. Good morning, everybody. Pastor, sorry, I can't say your last name. Thank you for the message this morning. Please continue to pray for English and Chinese ministries and pastoral searches, Charles and Mary Lee, Jordan Hammer, and Hillary Braun, the lost, the sick, and those missionaries serving in the States and abroad. Birthdays this week: Charlie Wong on the 21st and Jessica Cao on the 25th. So if you know these people or you see them, call them up, tell them happy birthday, sing to them. Are there any other announcements? Pastor, can you close us in a word of prayer?
God, we end today by just thanking you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done, creating this world, making each one of us in your own image, expressing your love through the person of Jesus Christ, living a perfect life and dying on the cross to pay for our sins, and then rising again, demonstrating your victory from the cross into life and resurrection. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides and leads our life. And may we just be a people of thanksgiving, to thank you, counting all of our blessings, not taking anything for granted, thanking you for everything that you've provided in our lives. So we leave today with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.